Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Woo! What a shot!
Wow!
By Frazier Minton, Keith.
Your guy, Frazier!
Don't you dare call him Niles.
I won't call him Niles.
Hey, baby, I hear the Blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs.
What a shot.
Goat spinoff show?
Ooh, might be.
In the mix.
Yeah.
Melrose Place, technically a spinoff, although that's like a loose spinoff.
What?
From 90210.
What are other spinoffs?
Let's see.
Everybody Loves Raymond is a spinoff of King of Queens.
Yeah, true.
No. Everybody Loves Raymond is a spinoff of King of Queens? Not the other way around?
Yeah, Raymond was on King of Queens before Raymond was a show.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Everybody Loves Raymond is a spinoff.
Angel was a spinoff of Buffy?
He's reading. He's Googling now? What are you
well,
doing?
Well, now I found well, yeah. You want to, there was the one. What was the spinoff of Golden Girls? Like the Golden Palace or something like that?
Empty Nest?
Well, Empty Nest was a shared universe. They lived down the street.
Empty Nest was a shared universe with Golden Girls?
Yeah, every once in a while. Speaking of St. Bernard's.
He was their doctor?
The dog, the giant dog on Empty Nest would like run through the Golden Girls' living room every once in a while.
Speaking of dogs, hit me with the Frasier theme again, though. That's
Hey, baby, I hear the Blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs.
This is a fun one to sing, I got to tell
you. That's good.
Yeah.
CSI Miami was a... CSI New York.
Yeah, that makes sense.
CSI Westwood.
John Rose Chachi.
Law and Order SVU.
Yeah. There's like the old ones that were like for sure.
Oh, that's a good call. Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
Spinoff of Happy Days. Yeah.
Joey
okay.
was a spinoff of Friends.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
If you were going to
Chicago Fire was a spinoff of Chicago Medical versus Chicago Law versus.
I think Top of the Heap and Married with Children.
Oh, really?
Top of the Heap.
Top of the Heap had Matt LeBlanc before Friends.
Oh, good get. Saved by the Bell, the college years is a spinoff of Saved by the Bell.
Oh, yeah, Bob Golic.
Yeah, he was great. He was the RA.
I thought he did well.
Yeah, he ran a tight ship.
His collars were a little too wide open.
Huge. They were huge.
Twisha had a good one, Better Call Saul, off of Breaking Bad.
Great one. Great spinoff.
That's probably legit the best one.
That's probably the best one.
That's got to be the best
one. Okay, but Frasier's on the Mount Rushmore. I think we established that.
Oh, shortlist.
Yeah. I think so. I don't want to ruin something we might be doing in coming weeks, but television sitcom theme shows, or theme songs, rather. I think that's a powerhouse.
All right, here's Entertainment Weekly's top 10 best spinoffs. Number 10, A Different World. Great one. I watched that. That was the spinoff of The Cosby Show. That was when they were in college.
Okay, didn't watch that.
Law and Order Special Victims Unit.
I just said that one. SVU,
Angel.
Yeah, you said that one.
Benson?
Yeah.
Spinoff of Soap.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, yep. Yeah.
The Good Fight, which was a spinoff of The Good Wife. I don't know. Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, there you go.
That's a good one.
Yep, nailed it.
NCIS. It was a JAG spinoff.
Oh, hey, yeah. I watched neither.
The Jeffersons. Spinoff of All in the Family.
Yep. Good call. Yeah, that's a
Frasier,
good one. Mm-hmm.
And Better Call Saul. So I think we kind of nailed it.
Oh, we really did.
We kind of crushed it.
We kind of did crush it.
Good stuff.
Frasier Minton crushed it last night.
He did.
Bruins
2-0.
Bruins get a win with Corpy in net last night. Corpy was, I don't want to say great, but in overtime he was great.
Well, yeah.
Some of the saves he made, I think it was more than one, but he had one incredible
one
save.
One ridiculous one, but overall very good.
I think Corpy was great in overtime last night. Bruins got some depth scoring. So in two games, we watched game one and we're like, all right, they're going to pack it in. Here's how they're going to play. Pasternak's line's got to be going. Swayman's got to be nails on the back end. McAvoy has to take a step forward and return to where he's been in the past, not what he was last year. And then they went a totally different way last night, Keith. It's more wide open. It's their backup goalie. There's depth scoring. They've been good on the power. It was a 5-on-3, but they're good on the power play. Lindholm has scored in two straight games, both on the man advantage. I don't know. It's like a different way of winning already in two games. They did it back-to-back to start the year. Maybe we should have taken him up on that buying opportunity. I talked myself out of
maybe.
It.
Maybe.
Duck boats.
When I was looking at the roster and you know, the Eakes roster, when I was looking at it name by name,
no.
I didn't realize I talked myself right out of my Bruins buying opportunity.
Yeah, but it wasn't just us. Cam Neely himself, before the season started, was like there's offense to be at. We'll add offense.
We wanted offense. We didn't get it. We're going to get offense.
Yeah.
Eakes.
So we'll
not
see. No,
not Eakes.
Because in all seriousness, and he had an assist last night, but I was wondering, like, how many games could
Simpsons is a spinoff. Tracy Ullman, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least initially appeared on Tracy Ullman, right? Is that a spinoff? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take it, though.
That's a good one.
If they – would MacGruber technically be a spinoff then, the show off of SNL?
Anything from SNL probably is a spinoff, actually. Yeah, it's a good call.
How many games would they win where Pasternak doesn't have a goal? Like, he had an assist, and I know his assists have been going up over the last few years, and he's more than just a goal scorer. But, like, as simple as that, you're like, he's going to need to have monster games. And he was good, but it was spread around. And I don't know, maybe there'll be some more goal scoring. Like, I just don't – I don't know how many guys you can rely on necessarily. Like, the guy who scored the game winner, Casey Mittelstadt had a goal. Like, how many goals do you think they're going to have all season? We'll see.
Seven!
Yeah. Like, honestly, it might be. But the defenseman – I've been playing. It's two games, but they've played really well.
You worried about the hamper already being hurt?
Yeah.
I know, they said after the game it's minor, but he's already hurt. We're two games in, he's hurt.
Yeah, no, I don't like that. He got the A on the jersey. It was a little bit of a curse for him. I don't know. But, yeah, he goes down, and then so other guys have to step up. I mean, you look at it, and I know they went to overtime, but 27 minutes for McAvoy, 25 for Zadorov, who maybe he'll be one of those guys that turns it around. We highlighted Swayman as bad year last year. If he's good, that is a big difference. But same with that guy. Like, he wasn't very good last year.
Oh, he's horrible.
And if you're getting this type of play out of him this year, then that's a big difference maker.
Zadorov, Lindholm, well, both Lindholms, right? And one's already hurt. Yeah. But Elias Lindholm started hot last year. I want to see him do it for more than a couple of games.
Another goal.
Before I fully believe. And they were both, again, on the power play. So he hasn't scored even strength yet. But
we'll take it.
Okay. I believe in that line. I believe Pasternak, Geeky, and he are going to be productive. He might just be along for the ride, but I think that's going to be a productive line. The hamper, let's see. And then, yeah, you're right, Zadorov. I mean, those are secondary pieces that are well compensated, where if those guys step up behind the three that we all know needs to step up, or in the case of Pasternak, continue doing what he's doing, McAvoy and Swayman, then, yeah, this could be a playoff team. When we say they're going places and we say buying opportunity, they were plus three something to make the playoffs. That's what we're talking about. I'm not talking about making any noise once you get there.
No.
But could they be a playoff team? Maybe. Based on the way they've started,
maybe. Like, I'm not ready to change after just two games.
Like, I feel like we already changed before there were any games. We went from buying opportunity to then not.
Oh.
I feel like we've already rode the roller coaster without any games happening in the offseason.
Yeah, you know, but then once it started and we saw the guys, like, this is a great start. You can't have a better start. You're 2-0. But let's see where this goes. Like, I don't know how you're going to be able to rely on every single guy just yet. I think what also maybe helps is zero pressure, zero expectations. You're flying under the radar. Nobody thinks they're going to be very good. So there's a little bit of that. I don't remember the last time we went into a Bruins season being like, it's not a playoff team. You know, in some years they were so good and they had the best record in the regular season. There were other years where they were just, you know, solidly in the playoffs the whole time. And the questions were always, all right, what are they going to do once they get there? They need to have a deep playoff run. This year it's like, I don't know. They got Pasternak who's going to score a lot of goals. They got McAvoy who's pretty good. And they got Swayman. Let's see what it looks like. And so, I don't know, maybe that sort of, you know, lowered expectations. Maybe that helps. Maybe it makes them play a little bit like freer this year.
So, look, they beat Chicago last night, who I think is going to be pretty bad.
Yeah.
They have Buffalo next, who I think will probably be pretty bad. They beat Washington in the opener, though. Washington's a good team.
Yeah.
And that was a buttoned-up performance. I actually like that they showed variety in the first two games, like different ways to win.
Oh, 100%.
They outshot Chicago last night. They were vastly outshot in the first game against Washington, but they won both games. I like already in two games they've shown different ways they can win because I was worried. I liked how they won the first game against Washington.
Yeah.
But I was worried that's the only way they could win.
And more entertaining than I thought or would have given them credit for because I know one of them was an empty netter, but do you think they'd have seven goals in the first two games?
No,
I didn't. I thought it might take them seven games to get seven goals.
They might have like one through two games.
Right.
They score in a game.
That's kind of what I thought,
too.
And then
not in the other, yeah. So, no, they're way ahead of the pace I expected for them.
That part's better. I am curious to see what the plan's going to end up being with Swayman. You know, one of the reasons why they got rid of Omar a couple years ago, not just the contract, but they were like, both goalies want to play 50-plus games. And so Swayman played 50-plus games last year. Wasn't very good. But now he had the training camp. He didn't have the contract thing hanging over his head. Are they going to let him play? Not let him, but is he going to play 55 games, let's say? Or do they say, well, the last time he was great, it was a split. And I don't think you want to split it with Corposalo, but Corposalo wasn't bad last year. He was better than I expected him to be anyway.
I mean.
So what's the number?
What would you do? Well, I would want him to play 55 plus going into the year. Now, if he proves he can't handle that, or he proves that he struggles with a back-to-back or 4 and 5 or whatever you break it down, then I would scale him back.
He played 58 last year, which was far and away a career high.
If he's paid like he is, he should play somewhere in that range again to me. Yeah. Now, again, if he proves he can't do it, last year he couldn't do it. But he couldn't play. He could have had weeks off and not played last year. The kind of shape he was in, the preparation he put in, and the way the team was going, like, I don't even know if that mattered. So, yeah, I'd want him for 55-plus this year. And if he can't handle it, then prove it to me. And then we'll scale that back, and it'll be more Corpy. But in the meantime, I want him in that territory. And look, I'd want him playing Saturday against Buffalo, Monday against Tampa, Thursday against Vegas, and then the next time he's off is Saturday or Sunday when they have a back-to-back.
Yep.
Colorado and Utah. I mean, that's what I would want.
Ooh, the Mammoth. Yeah.
Those unis look nice.
That's a road game.
Maybe next week we might have to uniform police those.
They're
going
great.
Into that weekend.
They're very good.
617-779-7937. All your thoughts on the Bruins, their 2-0 start, and their win last night, including our guy Frazier. Don't call him Niles.
Whew.
Vinton.
Game one.
Hey, baby, I hear the Blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs.
Way to go, Frazier. The 9:30 on Thursday night, I think?
Ooh,
was that 9:30 show?
It wasn't. It was part of the Musty TV, for sure.
It was like Friends, Seinfeld, Frazier. What was the lineup?
Oh, speaking of shared universe, Paul Reiser. Why am I blanking on the name? Mad About You, I thought, was a shared universe spinoff of something, wasn't it?
Him, no. No, him and Helen Hunt were their own thing.
Lisa Kudrow was in her character with Phoebe.
That Phoebe from Friends was on Mad About You?
No, Phoebe's twin or something was the waitress on Mad About You. Yes.
Man, what a small world.
Yeah, seriously.
That's wild.
That was must-see TV for you, Keith.
Yeah, I would
say so. Television was television.
Oh, hell yeah. Now,
thanks
a lot, streaming services.
TGIF. Really, the end of the week.
The Thursday, Friday TV blocks, the two-hour blocks of television.
You were cooking.
And if you missed it, you just straight up missed it.
No, if you missed it, you were SOL.
You had to watch it live.
You'd never see it.
Was Family Matters a spinoff?
Family Matters a spinoff?
Of what?
For some reason, thought it was a spinoff of something that Kyle was in something else before.
Die Hard. You're thinking of Boy Meets World, the college years, I think is what you're thinking
or
of.
Or Girl Meets World.
Oh, that one. I didn't watch that one.
No, me neither.
No.
But the best lineup would have been.
That's just when she was born? Is that what that show was?
No, it was a whole
thing.
Just
when she popped out?
She was at school.
Oh, okay.└
She was at school.
Oh, okay.
It was. It would be Family Matters into Boy Meets World into Step by Step. That was at 9:30.
Sister.
No.
Google's telling me that Family Matters was a spinoff of Perfect Strangers.
With Balky?
With Balky and Cousin Larry.
The text line, by the way, is telling me.
Was Carl on
Perfect Strangers? Yeah.
The text line is telling me that everybody
were they
loves.
In San Francisco?
Oh, sorry.
I thought they were in.
Chicago.
Was Perfect Strangers in Chicago?
I remember Balky, but I don't really recall where it was set.
Oh, boy.
Shame on me, but
deep
I don't.
Deep dive here.
While you're deep diving, the text line is telling me, by the way, that everybody loves
Got
Raymond.
Twisted.
Came out in 96, and yes, not yesteryear. What the hell's King of Queens? Came out in 90.
Well, KOQ guy.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
I like King of Queens.
Great show.
Got it twisted around.
Yeah.
The majority of the series is set in Chicago.
There you go.
I didn't realize that for Perfect Strangers.
Different world than the Cosby Show, if you guys remember that one.
I mentioned that.
That was one.
It was in college. Yeah. It was college.
Yep. 617-779-7937. Have a bite at the apple here on must-see TV talk. Meanwhile, this struck me last night before the game. Marco Sturm pregame. Who, by the way, again, in timeouts last night, mouth wasn't agape, tie wasn't askew. Still nowhere near the timeout. Then they cut to the Chicago bench, and Jeff Blashill is, like, drawing up plays like you read about on the grease board. And Marco Sturm just, like, Homer Simpson's his way out of the camera shot every time they have a timeout.
But anyway, he doesn't want to steal the thunder. Really.
I mean, I guess not. He's got his hands in his pocket, standing in the corner, while everybody else is, you know, getting ready to finish out the game.
Correct.
Marco's 58 minutes in. He's like, I'm good.
Guys, I'm going to get ready for the press conference.
So his press conference before the game, he's going on and on and on about David Pastrnak. Let's listen to it, and then I have some thoughts on the other side.
What I didn't know, that he's Listen, all those superstars are very competitive, but he's also he can get a little feisty too. You know, he showed it even in practice. He was all out the last couple weeks. He was not shy of hitting guys in practice too, and that shows me he's a leader. You know, he wants to show it on the ice, not just in game but also in practices too.
Okay, now just to close the loop, Family Matters is indeed a spinoff of Perfect Strangers.
That's wild.
Harry at work with Larry and Belky.
That's amazing.
Okay, so there you go.
It is a small world.
Marco Sturm, though, is just going on and on. He's like, boy, that Pasternak, what a feisty leader.
It's strange.
A feisty little fella he is.
Isn't it strange? Because he seemed like at the end of last year, which was a debacle, right? They trade Marchand, which you never trade captains, we were told, on this very show. But they did trade their captain. They traded a bunch of other players.
By an expert.
Correct.
Yeah, we were actually, we were chastised, actually, is what we were.
We were.
Yes. And then he got traded.
And then we were left at the altar. But, so you don't trade captains. They do trade their captain. They trade a bunch of other players, and then the team sank like a stone. But even around all of that, I thought Pasternak, which surprisingly didn't strike you as somebody that would be a leader, kind of morphed into one. I don't know if he looked around and was like, all right, I kind of have to be, or whatever it was. Because the best player isn't always the leader, right?
No.
But in this case, I wonder if he felt like...
I think in some sports, by default, they kind of have to be. Your quarterback kind of has to be.
Quarterback,
the best player
tough,
in the NBA kind of has to be. In the NHL, though, I agree. Definitely your best player does not have to be your captain.
Right.
Oftentimes, they're not.
And so it seemed like he took on a lot of that responsibility. The only other candidate they had was McAvoy, but remember, he was hurt. Like after the Four Nations, he wasn't around as much.
So if Pasternak's such a great leader...
Yes, this is what I know.
Sturm is going on and on and on. What a great leader. What a feisty little guy. If he's such a great leader, why isn't he the captain?
I don't know.
So why don't they have a captain?
Was it because last year they didn't like how things went with him, and they were like, we don't want to promote it too far?
I don't know.
Or was Marchand such a bad captain that they've had, like, they're a little reserved just to give it out to somebody? Like, I mean, they went from, like, Chara and Bergeron, which would be, like, two captains on any team that they were on, right? Like, those guys are literally what you would think of as a hockey captain. And maybe they got kind of burned last go around, and they're like, do we want to just hand it out? But it feels weird to go into the season with just three alternate captains.
So, look, whatever they're doing is working through two games, so I guess I'll stand down on this. But either you're full of crap about how great of a leader Pasternak is, and you're going
on
and on
and
on. He's like such a great leader, but you won't make him the captain. Or there's a reason they're not making him the captain, even though he is a good leader. Like, I don't know which one it is. My guess is it's the first. He's full of crap.
Right.
Would be my guess.
Because it's funny, in this sport, more like in basketball or football or baseball, certainly baseball, we wouldn't really talk about it. But they make such
a
dance about it. They're like, oh my God, look at that. He's a C. He's got the C on the sweater. Like, they make such a production out of it.
Yes.
And they'll even have guys that, remember there was a few years where the Bruins would have whoever the captain was, probably Chara, and then they would like rotate alternate captains. And it'd be like, all right, some games this guy gets the A, and it's like this big like ceremony for it.
Yeah.
So like they make it a big deal. I guess we can talk about it. I thought he was the obvious choice to make the captain. They didn't. And then now Sturm's talking him up like he is.
The Red Wings didn't have one for a couple years after Zetterberg retired. It took him like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, maybe they were like
the captain.
Tough shoes to fill.
Yeah, but was their coach going on and on about how
I think the
next guy was such a great leader?
They were real bad.
Yeah, true. This is good. You can't trade captains, as we famously found out last
right.
year.
No,
so
no.
They didn't name a captain because they want everybody
available
to trade.
Maybe makes
That's
sense.
That's a good theory.
That's great.
Who leads the handshake line, Jones, without a captain? Great question.
Oh, they just might turn into like a circle. They wouldn't even know where to go.
They wouldn't even know where to skate. Without a captain, who's going to lift the cup when they win it in June? Another great question. These are important questions.
Who gets the cup first?
Yeah.
Probably Marco Sturm.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Just goes out there and just...
Bring Chara down out of the box?
Yeah.
It would probably be Swayman.
He'd point to the assistant.
Swayman would cut the line and just take it.
Marco Sturm would just have the assistant coaches handle it. He'd just stand on the side of the bench in the corner.
His mouth open. Just be in awe. At that point, he could be. Like that,
You're
I would understand
to
being
be
in awe of the cup.
When you win the cup. Yep. You can stand there, mouth agape,
yep.
Tie askew, let your assistant coaches do all the work.
Looks like
in
you
that
just
scenario.
Wandered onto the bench. You're allowed then.
All your Bruins thoughts, 617-779-7937. We got good feedback too, Keefe, on our top five. It's up now at Jones and Keefe, at Keefe 21.
Yeah, this is a list
at
I'd like
Jones
to have
W-E.
Back.
Yeah, now you named a number of high schools.
I did forget one.
Which one was that?
The one I went to. St. Paul's.
Oh, you didn't name St. Paul's.
No. Not only should I have named it, I should have put it in my top five.
I probably would have had it in your top five somewhere.
There was too many Saints. It was too overwhelming.
I don't want to tell you how to make your list.
I want to take out Amon-Ra St. Brown. I want to put it in the St. Lunatics. I also want to take out Joe Horn and put it in St. Paul's school.
Yeah. I got to tell you, another good suggestion on the text line, Sylvia Saint. I was not familiar with her work.
Oh, you looked her up?
I did Google that on a work computer.
What's she up to?
Nice.
I'll take a look.
Good suggestion there, text
for
line.
For work.
Yeah, well, it's our job.
Yeah.
It's our job is what it is.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Marco Sturm and the Bruins may never lose. Has anyone ever gone 82-0? I feel like no.
It's on the table. It's legitimately on the table.
If you, you know, that's what pace they're on for. They've played two games. They won two games. They had to go to overtime, so they're getting closer to losing. Don't love that aspect. But, Fitzy, that was, I said to Dan Ball when I walked in today.
Hello.
I did say hello, and then I said that was as enjoyable a hockey game for the Bruins as I've watched in a while. That was really fun, physical. Zadorov, I thought, killed a man on the boards. He absolutely squashed him into the boards. The guy's grabbing his head. Don't know what happened to him. Don't care. And then you got a young player, Minton, who scores the game-winning goal. You got your backup goalie looking unbelievable to start overtime. Like, it was just a really, really fun hockey game for a team. And maybe I'm getting caught up in this. You know, I had been told by the hockey people, oh, it might not be a good season. Oh, they're not that good. They can't score. Like, there's all these lower, diminished expectations. Mm-hmm. And they go out there, and they're 2-0, and they're Fitzy. Correct me if you've heard this before. They're entertaining me. That's fun.
That's all you could ask. I mean, honestly, what else could you – obviously, some development of the young kids as they sort of change identities. This is not – your same old Bergeron team. Hell, obviously, this is we've moved on from Marshy, and now it's Pasta and. You know, I love the chat yesterday with the Razor as well, getting some insight. He seemed pretty hype on this team, or at least, well, I mean, that's his job. He comes in and checks in with us every Thursday as sort of the former goaltender slash resident hype man for the Bees. But I don't know how many people had on there. Maybe they squeak into the playoffs slash as long as I feel like they're pointed in the right direction, I'll be okay with them. Bingo card, a 2-0 start with each goaltender getting a win as well. Like Swayman looks amazing the first night, and the next night, okay, he gives up three goals, but he is a backup goaltender as well. And they did it in front of the home fans as well, who probably just loved, like, I don't know how many dubs there are on the schedule at home for the Bees with 40 games to go in the regular season at the Garden, but that's great. It's just so, and in overtime too, with Mintner getting it as well. And what he was part of the Carlo trade. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dan Ball.
Yes, sir. Him and yep. A first round pick for Brandon Carlo. Pretty sweet deal so far.
I was going to say, so far, the ROI on that deal is pretty good.
And Zadorov. So the Bruins, when I saw them put it on the screen, they were like doubling up the Blackhawks on hits at that point in the game. And Zadorov was a big part of that. He was also a big part of some of the scrum scuffles and whatever you wanted to call them late in the game, where my favorite play of the night was he cross-checked a Blackhawk from behind into the back of a Bruin. Said Bruin was pissed, and so were all his teammates, and a melee broke out, all really because Zadorov hit somebody first. But I'll take it. It was fun. We've heard about this, that there's going to be a little old-school physicality to these Bruins, and certainly Zadorov is at the head of that list. But if you're going to get goaltending like they've been getting, and you're going to find a way to put the puck in the net, you can win some hockey games. So Dan Ball.
Yes, sir.
A.K.A. a bit of a resident wet blanket at times for the Bruins in this offseason.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think well justified.
Okay, yep. two games in. How we feeling?
Much better than expected. I mean, this all lays on the shoulders of Swayman. I liked the saves that Korpisalo made in overtime. He was 21-24 overall, but for me, I'm still focused on what Swayman did against Washington, and if you can get that, because I know that Razor was talking about you'll have a, whatever, 50-32 split,
yes.
I think he said, you're going to need more than that if you're going to be a legitimate playoff team. You're going to need Swayman to be upwards of 60 games and play the way that he did against Washington if you're going to win. So I'm encouraged. He also played a really bad team last night, one of the worst in the league. So,
All right.
I'm encouraged so far. I certainly am, but you got a long way to go.
You got to scrape the dubs wherever you can get them. By the way,
no question.
I'd also just sort of like to point out, last year, the Lindholm Incorporated was basically a net zero for the Bruins. You know, Elias Lindholm did not have the great first year with the Bees that we had hoped, and the Hamper was basically gone for the year with the knee injury. Now Hamper's back, and Elias Lindholm, two games, two goals. I'll take it.
So is he going to have 82 goals?
Yep.
Wow. The pacing
market
for this team.
Book it.
82 wins, 82 goals. Perfect.
Oh,
love it.
Oh, also, I bet you if there had ever been an 82-0 hockey team, it wouldn't be 41-41 for two separate goaltenders, and they could do that. They're on the current pace for that as well. I also thought it was a little weird that Razor said, didn't everybody fixate on 55 games last year? That was why they had to make the trade. Everybody wants to play 55 games, and now we're at 50-32. How'd that happen?
Yeah, they're all of a sudden the goalposts are moving for what's considered to be a successful season for Swayman. Here, plain and simple, Andy, he gets paid too much money to only play 50 games.
Yeah.
That's just as easy as it is.
I can really appreciate the moving of goalposts. I really, truly enjoy it at times. Uh-huh. But I noted that with Razor yesterday.
This for Bill Shine. Bill-themed rejoins today.
A little bit, yeah. I might mix him in.
No Greg Hill today. Ken Laird sitting in, along with the rest of the crew. It is the Greg Hill Show. And before we continue with the leads, good start by Curtis and Shine, but we got to get Curtis and sticking that bald dome out the window for the Window World of Boston weather update. Curtis?
Oh, boy. Ken, I miss you, bud. It feels like 35 right now outside.
It sucks.
43 degrees is the actual temperature. Afternoon high, sunny and 56. Going to be not bad. Kind of 60 to 65 this weekend. Some clouds, a little bit of rain, but nothing too crazy.
Mm. Gorgeous walking weather.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And Greg, of course, is at, where is he?
Key West.
What's the temp down there? I don't even want to know.
I bet it's beautiful.
Forget about that.
I've never been there, but I've only seen pictures of it, and it looks amazing.
I can tell you one thing, he's sweating, whatever it is.
All right, we continue with the leads. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. I believed that LeBron James was going to retire 2 days ago when the second decision, the decision of all decisions, was teased on social media. Wiggy was 100% right in telling me not to get my hopes up because it was...
But Wiggy thought it was taco-related, right?
Yeah, but he thought it was going to be some type of partnership, and that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of Lakers fans that felt the same way I did. Ticket prices for his final home game spiked. Crazy, crazy, crazy number of tickets that were sold that day. And one of those guys, Andrew Garcia, he's a 29-year-old Lakers fan. He's now suing LeBron in a small claims court for fraud, deception, misrepresentation, and any and all basis of legal recovery. He purchased two tickets for the March 31st, 2026 game between the Lakers and Cavs right after the post went live. He spent $865.66 on the two tickets, which of course spiked in price, and then found out it was just an ad. So he's taking LeBron to court. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a few other Lakers fans that see, oh, he's trying to get a bag. I'm going to jump on this as well. I don't think that they will win. I think that LeBron...
But they're trying.
Yeah. Are there odds on this, Shine? One of the sports books? What are the odds this guy wins?
Oh, I haven't looked. I'll have to take a look.
Check in with Sean Flaherty from Catch.
Yeah, I bet he don't. But I mean, you if you're the one, if you're the sucker who falls into it and is willing to spend the money, what did LeBron do? He just said he had a decision he was going to make. That could have been anything.
Well, By the way, saying he deceived them.
What is it that? Oh, so what is it that he's suing him for?
Misrepresentation. I got there eventually.
Yeah, you got there.
Shine. Yeah,
that's me. That was a mean one, honestly.
Yeah. You're a mean one.
You know what? Courtney, you know what I would do?
What?
Sue Shine.
Oh, maybe
you could
I
do
will.
That. You can sue anybody
bullying?
Nowadays.
Yes. Yeah.
Harassment?
Yeah.
Misrepresentation.
You know what you could say? You could say that, you know, you have some type of learning disability, and Shime is being cruel to you because of your learning disability.
I think that I'm dyslexic.
There you go.
The more I get into this job, the more I think that.
I think Ty is, too. That's why he called me Len.
Yeah.
I have a slight lisp, and I get made fun of for calling him David Ortiz.
See, there you go, Courtney.
I've never noticed your lisp.
Yeah.
There you go.
Good job, Courtney.
Hey, thank you.
It's a bag of cash right there.
Wiggy, I know you played hockey at a high level. You and I have been on the ice together. You got a Bruins lead.
I do got a Bruins lead. I will say this. After watching last night's game, if the Bruins want to be competitive and want to be able to get into the postseason, you're going to need Swayman to do what he did last night. I mean, he was spectacular. Even the goals that, like, the last goal was the empty netter. It doesn't technically, I know it counts, but that was a game that you won 2-1. You offensively, your offense looks like just as David Pastrnak, but you're going to have Swayman had some big saves in that game. He's going to have to play like that all year long because it doesn't look like you're going to have too much offense, and you're going to have to win games 2-1, 1-0, and in order to do that, Swayman has to be lights out, which he was last night. And I thought he did a tremendous job, especially against the Washington, had a bunch of power plays.
They had five.
Yeah.
0-for-5.
Yeah. So if you want the Bruins to be competitive, Swayman, it's going to all fall on your shoulders.
I got to say, and I know, Curtis, you don't like to get too deep into the weeds with the puck talk. I mean, I was pucks on net last night like you wouldn't believe.
I really love what Sturm was doing with the pairings.
The fourth line looked good.
Yeah.
You're right. Swayman looked excellent. Pasta is a star. They might be better than we think. They might be competitive.
But they only have Pasta.
They got Geeky.
And Geeky, didn't Geeky have who had the breakaway? No, it wasn't Geeky.
No.
I forget who had
the breakaway. Arvidsson.
Yeah, it wasn't Geeky. But yeah. I mean, if your expectations are now that Geeky has to jump up, what did he score? What do you have, like 30-plus goals last year?
He had a good year.
Yeah, so you're gonna have to get another 30-plus from him this year? Is that something that he can do consistently?
We will ask an expert at 820, Judd Surratt, play-by-play voice of the Bruins, going to be in here. He'll tell you whether you're right or wrong, whether they have enough scoring to compete. That'll be our first Bruins Thursday visit from Judd. He'll be with us all year. All right, quick lead from me. I just would like to counter Curtis.
Bruins Thursday here.
Yep, thank you. Curtis, I don't like to go against you, but listen, hear me out here now.
I'm listening.
You said Bill doesn't deserve any grace. Here are four reasons why you got to give Bill a little bit of leash here when you're talking about his legacy. He could be done, I fully admit. This could be the last game he's ever coached.
Number one,
college football is really hard. This is harder than the NFL.
Yeah.
To coach in college.
Yeah, I'd agree with
that. I don't think Bill knew what he was in for. Like, it is unbelievable.
I'd agree with that.
Number two.
Wait.
Number two.
Didn't he spend, like, all of last year in Washington helping out Steven, hanging him with Jed Fish? Like, wasn't he around college football the entirety of last year?
He only got to Carolina in December. So what did he have, 6 months to put stuff together?
No, you just said that
together?
He doesn't know what college football is like.
Doesn't recruiting Wiggy have to start, like, now for next year?
Yeah, but
if you're Bill Belichick, to Curtis's point, like, you grew up around the game. He talks about how he was around college football forever.
It's different now. It is the Wild West.
But if you're Bill Belichick, you talked a pretty big game going into it. You know what you're signing up for. In my mind.
Yeah, but back then it was
okay, but
so different because those
You don't think he had conversations with Nick Saban before taking the job, though?
Saban walked away from him because Saban felt like it was getting too wild.
And I'm sure Saban said that to Bill, and Bill still took the job.
Yeah, and I think it's his arrogance that led him down
that
road going, okay. I think he had to realize, like, all right, I might struggle the first year, but I got to be willing to deal with some of these struggles.
Number two. Reason for some Bill Grace. It's five games. You cannot fire a guy after five games. I don't care how bad it is.
No.
That's just not a legit shot, a kick at the can.
No, they won't fire him after five games.
Number three,
in at number third.
I hate you.
Jordan is partly to blame here. Curtis, you admit, you said this yesterday. If not for her, he's coaching in the NFL somewhere.
Absolutely.
She has torpedoed his career, so you got to give him, you know, some kind of leeway for that. And
number four,
he might have a health issue that we don't know about.
Oh, God.
I mean,
you're hypothesizing.
I'm just throwing. It's 3.5. Then he could. What if he's got like early stage something or other?
Long COVID.
I don't know what it is.
I'm not buying that.
He has fallen off a cliff as a coach, and there's got to be some reason for it.
Honestly, I think the only way out without him being, you know, this being a black mark on him for a very long time is if there is something else going on with Bill Belichick and we find out and that's why he steps away from the game.
But he would have took some time off if he had health issues.
Well, maybe that's about to happen.
Maybe not if Jordan's driving him and Lombardi wants back in a major way.
It they does seem like it's older elk.
Yeah, I would
Wait,
give...
Shime is on you today. Wow.
Are we okay?
Greg's out and he's just... Jeez.
He's dropping the bombs.
He's trying to show off.
Young lady is pregnant. I mean, geez. Yeah.
Seriously,
Generation Jones.
And the baby can hear now. Yeah, right, so
that
you know.
Is not kind.
Yeah. And I
got to teach it to have a good sense of humor. That's all.
Ken, I'll give you the Jordan thing.
Yep.
But the other ones, I feel like you bring on yourself. Like you got to know what Courtney's right. You got to know what you're getting into and how difficult it's going to be. Because in college, if you don't like a kid's attitude, Courtney and I were talking about this off the air, and I'm not saying this was the reason, but Jabril Peppers. We don't know what was going on, but Vrabel's like, all right, I'm moving on from this guy. In college, you can't do that.
Great. Ken, I would just also say, like, I understand what you're saying, and you may be right, that it was a lot more difficult than even Bill understood, even though he was around college football all last year. But the second you do the 33rd NFL team...
But that was Lombardi. That wasn't him.
Who hired Lombardi?
Well, he should fire Lombardi. That's the first step.
Wait, so you think that Lombardi did that against the wishes of Bill Belichick?
Yes. When has Bill ever been 33rd NFL team guy?
When has Mike Lombardi done anything, including BMs, without the approval of Bill Belichick?
He put out a book saying he's the gridiron genius. He is lost in his own ego. That guy has to go.
The best way to describe what's gone wrong is that he's done what he mocked for his whole career since leaving here, which is... overpromise, underdeliver, create distractions for his players, make things about everything but what's most important. And if he really didn't think they were the 33rd team, he should have fired that boob Lombardi.
Do you have any sympathy for Belichick in his current situation? Let us know. 617-779-7937. It's the Greg Hill Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So far, so good. Bruins with a win in their season opener. And that was TNT on the call. Brendan Burke and Darren Pang. But tonight, that's when the big boys take over. Judd Surratt, Nesson, the local call, a 1-0 Bruins team. And here he is, Judd Surratt in studio. Judd, thank you for coming in. That's awesome to have you here.
Well, Ninkovich said that traffic was bad yesterday, so I wanted to make sure that I left a little bit early. You know, Ninkovich, you know, not far from where I grew up.
Okay.
Southwest side at a great city, Chicago. You know, so he went to Lincoln Way. So, but you know, when I hear him talk about traffic, that's a guy who worked up to Stevenson for years. Time to get in a little early.
All right. So you come from Walpole too, because he's coming from way down there. So you want to definitely leave early. So
Judd Surratt will be with us every week on the Greg Hill Show. Greg Hill not in today, by the way. I'm Ken Laird. Greg is off for the first Judd appearance, unfortunately. But you guys connected last week, which is good. You know,
well, actually, you know, coming in, I was really hoping that Sheriff Judd would do this segment.
Yes.
I actually think it would be so much better than this.
No. You guys are equals, but got to be something with the name.
Judd is brought to you by Sports Etc., Boston's best hockey shop, powered by Bauer, with the best selection of Bauer skates, sticks, and goalie equipment at 1303 Mass Ave in Arlington or online at sportsetc.net. So, Judd, I know you didn't get the call of the game, which is never fun because, you know, we want to hear the local call.
We'd love to do every single game.
But... I was impressed just going in, didn't know much about this team, a lot of new faces, and I came away thinking, boy, exceeded my expectations. What did you make of their debut?
I think impressed is a great word that you and I had talked about just before we came in and we had started this segment. I think one of the things to think about with this Bruins team is how quickly can they recapture the identity that they want to play with? So what you saw last night is pretty much it. Goaltending, defense, special teams. Yeah, you got to mix in your top guys. Pastrnak had a terrific night, as did Elias Lindholm. You know, the power play goal, the way he played on that top unit was terrific. So that's a great sign for the Bruins. But the other thing is, now you got 81 more. Okay, you got to do it again tonight here against the Blackhawks. And then you've got to continue to do it throughout the season. But that was a really good way to start.
Judd, how? I mean, we always know the importance of Swayman, but I think the question that I have is people talk about Pastrnak, we know what he is, but they bring up Morgan Geekie, right? He had 30-plus goals last year. Is this something he can consistently do again this year? Because you're going to need another guy to give you that 30-plus goal season. Could he do that again?
I think it's certainly possible. I think in the conversations that we've had with the general manager, Don Sweeney, I don't know if he expects necessarily that he'll hit that number, mm-hmm. but can you hit high 20s? Can you approach 30? I think that's definitely doable, especially playing with that group. And having a conversation with Geekie before the start of the season, it's so different. Remember, this guy was a healthy scratch last mm-hmm. year at the beginning of the season and didn't really turn it on until January. Now it's completely different, and it's not just for him, but it's for the entire team. From the moment that he stepped foot in camp, he played and practiced with Pastrnak and Lindholm. So I think in many ways he has such a bigger head start than he had last season. Now you've got to be able to deliver. It's not just the contract, but the fact that you scored 33 last year, now the expectations rise.
When you look at Swayman in particular, though, and you see how great he was last night, obviously he didn't start the season opener last year. There was a lot going into Swayman going into the season. Are you seeing, from being around the team, a different guy, a different energy? Was that all just because the holdout going into the season last year, or is it just him building upon himself?
I think there's a lot of different things at play there. When I had a conversation with him just before the team had left for Washington, and basically the question to him was, how different is your headspace
right
now than where it was a year ago? He said a year ago at this time, and remember, he didn't sign and jump on the plane until the Bruins boarded to go to Florida. He said, I was in the mountains of New Hampshire at this point. Now he's had an entire training camp to go through to get up to game speed. But I think the most important thing for him, Courtney, to your question, was to be around the guys, to build that camaraderie. You know, we're talking about identity. We're also talking about leadership. That's sort of the overarching thing. So how does this function? I don't think it's uncommon throughout the National Hockey League for teams not to have a captain. But how does this leadership group function with Pastrnak, McAvoy, Lindholm is wearing an A, Jeremy Swayman is signed long-term, and some of the other guys who are long-term. How does this function? That's a great start for him. The way he played in net, technically, it was quiet. It was simple. And the guys in front, if you remember, you know, watching the game last night, it was one and done. There weren't a whole lot of chances. And 5-on-5, fairly even.
Was Hampus, Pasta, and McAvoy your guess as captains going into this?
I don't know if I necessarily had a guess. You know, I know we joke with Razor all the time that goalies can't wear a C. You know, ask him a story. When he was with Vancouver, Roberto Luongo was the captain, and I think it was kind of a gong show. But you know, he's probably, you know, I would think that makes sense for a guy like Lindholm. You know, I think there's a couple of guys that you probably could have thought about giving it to. Older guy, veteran guy, leader, you know, a guy that you're going to rely on.
One of the things you talk about, Judd, is you talk about the special teams. And last year, the Bruins were, when it comes to penalties, they were one of the most penalized teams in the NHL. Last night, Washington has 5 power play opportunities. How can you keep putting that much pressure, and how do they clean that up? Because if not, you're putting all this pressure on Swayman to make sure he makes stops against the opponent's power play. How do they clean that up?
You got to check with your feet, especially early in the season. I didn't love all the calls that came against him. You know, and that goes actually, you know, for some of the calls I actually think the refs got the call right on John Carlson giving the Bruins that power play, which eventually triggered the game winner last night. But you have to be able to check with your feet, because anytime that referees see you're reaching to check or you use an open hand to grab a guy, that's usually an automatic. But for the Bruins, Wiggy, it's a great point. They were in the box way too much as a team last year. They were among the league leaders in minor penalties. You had the league's penalty minute leader in Nikita Zadorov, who, by the way, played a terrific game last night. If you look just as a quick sidebar, Zadorov was second to Charlie McAvoy in ice time on the Bruins last night. And that's how valuable he was, especially to your penalty-killing unit. They have to be able to curtail that. They have to be able to check with their feet, because it's going to be hard for the Bruins to outscore their problems the way that they're built.
Judd, so Greg Wyshynski compared David Pastrnak to Ilya Kovalchuk on the Thrashers.
No.
Do you think that's a fair comparison?
Nope.
Or do you think that this is the Cam Neely tough defensive strategy is far more sustainable over an 82-game season?
With all due respect to the old puck daddy, you know, and I had a chance to see Ilya Kovalchuk for years when I was in the minors and we were affiliated with the Atlanta Thrashers. He was a goal scorer. I can see some of those similarities. He was not the playmaker that Pastrnak is. Last year, David Pastrnak tied his career high. I think he had 63 helpers, which was among the league leaders. That was never really a number that Kobe put up.
Nesson's play-by-play voice, Judd Surratt, joining us in studio here on the Greg Hill Show, and he'll be with us every Thursday at 8:20 on our Bruins Thursday. All the goals last night came from the top line guys, even though one of them was a great power play goal. Where does the secondary scoring come from? That's still the worry, right?
Well, I think they're going to have to be able to do it by committee. Just to kind of go back to the last preseason game, and obviously preseason doesn't count, but the way that they scored in that game, whether it was defense, your middle six being able to chip in, that's what they're going to have to be able to do. You know, those top guys, as you talked about with Geeky Pastrnak and Lindholm, they're going to be expected and they're going to be leaned on to be consistent scorers all season long. But what can you get beyond that? I think the Bruins as a team, I think that there's a lot more offense that they can tease out of the blue line, especially from guys like McAvoy, Lindholm, you know, Zadorov. He had a 14-goal season a couple years ago. I don't think anybody expects that he's going to get double digits.
Yeah.
But he's a guy who can handle the puck, and he has some skill offensively. I think you can tease more goals out of that. But what can you kind of get out of the middle six to bolster your offense?
Like Arvidsson had some chances last night, just didn't finish.
He did. He did, which is encouraging. Pavel Zacha made that, you know.
Yeah,
now that
pass.
This was, you know, obviously on the power play, the indirect off the wall. Just as you execute it, you know, you see the addition of Steve Spott, who's on the coaching staff for a couple reasons, primarily because he can run the power play. He's done it for years in the National Hockey League, and he's a veteran assistant coach who's been around some really good coaches during his coaching tenure. So a guy like Marco Sturm can lean on a guy like that. What can you get out of Pastrnak? What can you get out of that second line? You saw him in fits and starts there last night.
Yeah.
But if they're able to kick in a little production, that really bodes well for the team.
If they want to perform above the expectations that we kind of set for them, is Swayman going to have to play at a Vezina-type level where he's one of those guys that you could be looking at as somebody who could potentially win that, because you talk about their inability to score goals other really than Pastrnak?
He's going to have to be really good, you know, and I think tonight, by the way, we're going to see Jonas Korpisalo. I think that's the other thing. It's not just that Swayman has to be really good. Korpisalo has to be really good. You're going to see him a lot more often. The schedule is a little bit more compressed this year because it's an Olympic year. You're going to see a lot of back-to-backs, 3-4s, 4-6s. So that means that your tandem is going to have to produce. But I think for a guy like Jeremy Swayman, you know, when it comes to numbers, Wiggy, you know, a lot of people obviously want to focus on save percentage or high danger saves or goals against average. The most important stat for any goaltender is wins. Does he give you an opportunity to win every single night? And if you think about last night, it wasn't just that he was making great saves, but he was making key saves at key times that preserved that victory.
Can I ask a non-Bruins question for
Bring
you?
It on.
Because last time that you and Billy were here, Wiggy was talking a lot about McDavid.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now you look at that two-year extension. We were surprised by the number, and I brought up the fact that maybe it was so team-friendly because they could trade him.
I hope. I wish. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm not surprised because we had talked about it that Connor McDavid signed a short-term deal. Mm-hmm. I think what a lot of people were shocked at, you know, in fact, even Elliot Friedman over at Sportsnet said, I actually had to dig in and make sure that the number was right as far as the salary because he's making like, you know, 12 yeah, and a half.
Yeah. I thought it was a misprint. I thought it was 2 years at $25 million per year. I thought it was 2 years at $50
million. I could not believe it. So, you know, there's been a lot of reaction around the National Hockey League. I think one of them is respect that he, listen, he's dug his feet in and he said, I want to bring a championship to Edmonton. But I think he understands that even though the salary cap is going up, he needs to be surrounded by better players. One of them is going to have to be in goal. You know, it's on the Edmonton Oilers, Jeff Jackson and Stan Bowman and those guys to be able to fill in. Where I thought you were going with that one is, so I think the last time we were in here and we had talked about this big free agent class potentially coming out.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So McDavid, check off the board. Kaprizov, off the board. Eichel, check off the board. He signed Kyle Connor. Check off the board. He signed an 8-year deal to stay in Winnipeg. So those are some big names in free agency that I think a lot of teams, not just the Bruins, were salivating about, depending on how it would go at the tail end of this season, that maybe those were guys you could acquire. There's still some really good players out there, but those are some big names off the list.
If Jeremy Swayman is playing at a Vezina level and this team is overachieving compared to where we had them kind of before the season, do they, A, have the assets to even help add to this team come trade deadline time, and B, are they even willing to, just knowing that it felt like this year was kind of going to be a reset year heading into that big free agent class?
Yes, yes, absolutely. You heard Cam Neely and Don Sweeney mention it at the press conference just before we started the season, that the Bruins really tried. They made a run at some of the offensive players that were available in free agency during the summer, whether that's guys like Brock Besser or Nick Ehlers. I'm not really sure on that one. And as far as the assets, so the Bruins have two first-round picks coming up in this upcoming draft, two first-round picks in the next draft. I have a hard time believing that the Bruins are going to pick four times in the first round and use all those picks. Those are assets that they can parlay into something else.
Looking forward to the call tonight, Judd. You and Brick, 7 o'clock on Nesson. What time does the
our pregame show, hour pregame. So you can kick in with Billy, right. Sophia, Barry, Razor, and the boys starting at 6 o'clock, and then we'll get it going at 7, Bruins and Blackhawks tonight.
Now, Judd got his start in radio as a producer, I believe, right? Where you were on out in Chicago. You did everything.
When radio first started. I started at the Score in 92.
Did you ever give the weather like our man Chris Curtis does? Because we have the Window World of Boston weather. So I want to go to that now to get a weather forecast for tonight.
No, I love this, though.
Okay.
Yeah,
this is there we go. Stick your head out there, Curtis. What do we got?
Judd and I share frolic challenges. it is 45 degrees in Boston, afternoon high of 56.
45? Is that cold? True?
I love it.
Chicago weather.
Yeah.
Chicago.
What about tonight? When you walk into the yard, what is it tonight, Curtis?
When you walk into the yard, who's ever called the Bruins game the yard?
The barn.
The barn.
Yard.
Talky talk.
I'm sorry. 56 degrees. The barn will be bumping tonight.
Top shelf, baby. 56. All
see,
right,
I may not
go.
Have done the weather, but I was old enough that at that point, like, do you remember the old tickers and like the news would like pop off and you have to rip it off the printer?
Oh, you did that. That's great.
Oh, yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
See, I think what we
yeah,
have.
Yeah, but did you ever staple stories for John Dennis?
I never done that.
No, I never did that, but I remember our computer went down with a call screener. I actually had to write them up and tape them on the window where you guys are at.
See, I think what we have to do now is once Greg gets back, because we always try to figure out what is it with the Chicago pizza, because we can't stand it, the deep dish. But you being from Chicago, and Greg is a Seltzer Bar pizza, we got to try to figure out where the hell did this deep dish come from and what's so good about it.
All right, well, first of all, Love Bar pizza, Love Tavern pizza. You remember there's like three pizzas there, because there's stuffed, pan, and then there's thin.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, you know, if we get a chance, maybe I'll just fly in a Pequod's pizza. You guys can have a, have a little bit. It's not like getting it there.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll see.
All right. Okay. And Chicago, the opponent tonight. So it's like, this is like your Stanley Cup final here tonight. This is great. It's the hometown boys. All right, Judd, thank you for coming in. Great stuff.
Thanks for having me.
Look forward to having you back next week. It is the Greg Hill Show. Greg out today. I'm Ken Laird. Coming up next, Wiggy's legendary moment story from Bourbon Street leading into the Super Bowl 2002.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Back here at WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, Ted Johnson, and joined in studio by our guy, the Razor. We picked him up last year, and we loved it, and so we're sticking with it. And he's in studio, and the man has some willpower. I know that because there's tremendous barbecue over there, and he didn't eat it.
Yep. No, I didn't. I was staring it down, but I got my suit on. I got it's going to end up somewhere.
You do have your TV you got a long night ahead of you.
Yeah.
Let's start with some positivity because I think a lot of people thought there might be a long season ahead of us all. And then I watched a hockey game last night, and I am not a hockey puckhead expert by any means, but the theory we went with yesterday was if Swayman's good and Pasta scores, mm-hmm. you might win some games. Well, Swayman was really good. Pasta scored, and you won the game. And I'd actually like to start here. Marco Sturm, mm-hmm. his first period interview on TNT, would have been better if it was with you, but on TNT, all smiles, appreciative seemingly of his lot in life and where he is and what he's doing. What is he bringing to this team? Is what I saw some insight into what he's bringing to the team?
And what you saw is Marco Sturm.
Yeah.
I played with him. He was here, a teammate of mine, one of the most positive teammates that I'd ever played with.
What you see is what you get.
What you see is what you get. He's and I think what you saw on the ice is what you get from him as well in organization, discipline, structure. He is full, very A-type. Everything's going to be the same every day. He expects everybody to be in a certain position at all times. He'll do it in a positive way, in a smiley way, but in a very direct way as well. So I think what we saw yesterday, what we've seen through camp is what you get with Marco, what you're going to get with this team. Now, it's very, very important to get off to a good start for this team. If it goes 5-1 the other way, tonight's a different story. This weekend, the amount of games in October is a different story. So certainly very, very positive in Bruin land after game one.
What did you make of the power play? Well, I think was an issue for this team. Obviously, last year I think they ranked the bottom of the league in power play. That was a great power play goal that they had. Got into the zone fast. Just talk about just the special teams in particular. They had five penalty kill opportunities as well, which mm-hmm. is maybe not good. But just talk about the special teams in particular last night.
So that's part of the checklist, right? The checklist was Swayman. The checklist was defensive structure and organization, and then special teams. Since I came back following these guys, and when I played against the Bruins, they were always top five, top 10 in both power play and penalty kill. And last year, they're at the bottom, and that's a direct correlation to where they ended up in the standings. They brought Steve Spott in, assistant coach, or associate coach, I guess is his real title, with Sturmey. He's a guy who's He coached against me in juniors in the late 90s up in Ontario. He's been around forever. He's followed Pete DeBoer for the most part, been to Stanley Cup finals, been to conference finals, and he's run power plays at all of those places with high-end players, with high-end talent, and he has a great mind for special teams. And the guys alluded it. Sturmey alluded it to it. David alluded to that play was does you know he drew that up yesterday morning. He saw that in the tape. He knew they could go indirect.
The indirect pass
correct.
Off the board. There?
Exactly. Okay. So it's just to use a point. He doesn't have a magic play every single right. game, right? Like right. there isn't magic plays, and unlike football, you can only do so much with the tape and what you see sure, in hockey. Sure. But the point of that is they're much more oriented to those special. They know how much they had to get better at it. They know how much it failed them last year. And the reality is last season, if they took five penalties, they only got two power plays, and they were in a 1-1 game in the third period, they were losing that game last season. The one way or the other, their power play wasn't going to get that goal, and their penalty kill was going to give one up after their power play didn't get it last season. So I think we saw a lot last night of the contrast from just 3 weeks with this new coaching staff compared to last season.
So we got to talk about Swayman. Yeah. Last year, I'll be honest, I hated him. Just in like everything he said in the contract and the business, like didn't want to hear him talk. And then you get the deal and then you don't show up. I'm watching games. We were keeping track of games where he allowed like five goals or more, and there was a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. And then he said this offseason, he's a new human. And last night he looked like a guy that is a franchise goalie. Are we going to get back to that? Is he going to live up to his contract, his own expectations, our expectations? Because you talk about getting off to a fast start was important.
Yeah.
Maybe no more necessary for anyone other than him.
No question. More important for him to get off to a hot start than David getting 3 points
right.
last night. If David went 0 for last night,
we know it's coming.
With Jeremy, he certainly knows that he's feeder to the fire, and any starting goalie after the contract and the season that went last season, he knows that he has to step up. So, listen, I'm not over exaggerating towards one game. Well, I'm not doing right. that. But what we also saw last night was no breakaways, no 2-on-1s, no odd man rushes. The penalty kill we each touched on didn't break down. They gave up 11 power play shots last night, but they weren't the ones through the middle of the ice. They weren't seeing passes. They weren't from behind the net to the front of the net. They did a better job on the outside.
Yep.
So goaltenders are a product of the circumstance as well. And right. and if the circumstance out in front of is more structured than Jeremy Swayman, then my expectation for him is to play like that last night all the time. Not give up any weak goals, be solid, make one or two saves that you have to make as an NHL goaltender, and win games. So I'm not, there's no predictions here, not doing the if game. He has to do it. There's just no way other than saying he has to do it, and he has to play like that continually.
Andrew, the this time last year, there was a lot of just drama. It felt like in the preseason, you know, you had Jim Montgomery still was a lame duck, and you had, you know, obviously Jeremy not being there for a lot of the training camp, wrinkled some feathers, if you will. But this year's training camp's pretty quiet, you know, nothing really much to report on. And do you think that's a good sign that just things were just kind of quiet and there wasn't a lot of drama? And so it bodes well for maybe them getting off to a good start?
No question. And in hindsight, to your points of hindsight last season and us looking back, they're going to figure it out. The Bruins, they'll get back to it. It is a little chaotic. It feels like things aren't really going the right way. There's a little bit of tension, whether it was Swayman, whether it was Montgomery. There was a feel when you're around it, and you guys have been around locker rooms and been around, you know, people long enough. You get a sense. But I was always, this has never happened here as long as I've seen it. And as long as Zdeno's been around, this hasn't happened. So they're going to pull through it. But hindsight proved us that it did affect them, and they didn't pull out of it all the way through the season. It was a spiral. So certainly different this season, and certainly they didn't have a choice either. Mm-hmm. They have no choice to not have a great training camp and come out of this season a little sluggish. So if they look like they did last night and they find a way again tonight, that pulls you through 10, 15 games. Now, at some point here in October, you have to start making adjustments. You have to start changing what you thought this team would be or certain players would be and say, okay, we have to make this adjustment or that adjustment. Or you look around the league and say, all right, this team's doing that. We have to incorporate this a little bit or change this. So that's going to be on Marco as a new head coach that he's never done. I don't know what that's going to look like. But to this point, it's been a masterclass in being organized, being ready, and hitting the ground running.
So Andrew Raycroft here with us on WEEI Afternoons, as he will be, I think, pretty much every Thursday through the season. Hopefully it continues to trend as it has after one game. But, you know, there's another one tonight.
There's
back
only
to
81
back.
Left. So what bad could happen now?
So as we sort of check off the big talking points of the offseason or heading into the season, we've talked about the coach. We've talked about the goalie and the scoring, the different things. You mentioned Zdeno Chara. They don't have a captain. I believe it's since 2001, the first time they started a year without a captain. In the world of hockey, in the world of the Boston Bruins, they have three alternate captains, right?
Yeah.
Is that a big deal, or is that the old joke that Ted and I kind of made off air yesterday? Like, if you have three quarterbacks, you don't have one. If you have three alternate captains, does that mean you don't have a captain, you don't have a leader?
No, I think leadership... just it comes in all different forms and ways of controlling dressing rooms and reacting to different scenarios. For me, this was an easy decision to not have one this year. I'm glad they didn't. So San Jose Sharks, for instance, they're in a much different place. Joe Thornton left there. He was a longtime captain. He's retired now 3 or 4 years. They haven't had a captain since there. They went with five guys.
Jeez.
They have a young group. They have Macklin Celebrini, who is down the road here at BU, that hockey people around here have heard his name, first overall pick. He's going to be the captain, but they've surrounded him with four other guys. I'm glad the Bruins didn't roll out four. Yeah. I was concerned. I would have been more concerned if they said, okay, we're going to go Charlie and David, and then we're going to rotate an assistant through every other week or every month. That doesn't feel right to me.
No.
This scenario with them going with just the three guys, Hampus Lindholm is an absolutely perfect scenario for that third spot as an assistant, and let this season play out. It's not going to make a difference them winning a cup or losing a cup if they don't have someone with a C on their jersey at this point. But because they have three good people with A's on, and they have very good leadership in the bottom six, which I don't think they had a lot of last season.
Do you think
they've got that?
There's eventually a C in that group, or is there a different C that we don't know where it is now? Like,
no, the C's coming out of that group.
Yeah. Okay.
The C's coming out of that group. I think they want to. I think you will take a lot from this season. There's a lot that goes into it that I wouldn't be privy to on what makes that decision, but my sense is the captain's in the group of A's.
Who makes that decision?
It's a good question.
Does it vary from team to team?
It does.
I gotta think Cam Neely has a say.
Oh yeah. Cam Neely.
But does Marco Sturm have a say?
It would be I don't know that. So certain teams the captain would mean less, right? Like there's teams that the Columbus Blue Jackets have been around for 25 years, and they probably had eight captains.
Right.
The Bruins have had eight captains in 50 years, and it's original six, and it's Boston, and it's the Bruins, and they have a lot of numbers retired that have Hall of Famers.
So it's more prestigious, maybe.
Much more prestigious.
Yeah.
Much more prestigious.
Okay.
Being the captain of the Montreal Canadiens or the Boston Bruins or Detroit, like an original six team, it means
Yankees.
More. You have to think about it more. I think the person who makes the decision who the captain is goes up a lot further in an organization like the Bruins compared to franchise A.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, so the top line looked pretty good last night, right, with Geeky and Lindholm and Pasta. Who do you think can maybe separate themselves, one of the young forwards in that second and third line or fourth line? Who do you think can maybe distinguish themselves from those groups, those lines, being a young forward?
Well, Fraser Minton's the youngest guy who stuck. He killed him. He had the most penalty kill time last night, which is pretty impressive for a 20-year-old kid. Will he chip in offensively right away? I think he's more dialed in as a third line center to really get his defensive game, his structure, and understanding where he needs to be on the ice. It's the big question. Of course, that top line's gonna get points. It's where's the other scoring come from? Now, I think the idea is they don't need to get a whole lot of it if they play really well defensively. But for me, more so than the forwards, it's the back end. With McAvoy and Lindholm being fully healthy, they're the ones that are going to have to drive some of that secondary offense. They're going to have to score from the back end. They were second last in the league in defense scoring last year. Toronto was the last. They were second last with 14 goals from their D. Cale Makar in Colorado had 30. So they need to find a way to up some of that offense from the back end. And whether that's those second and third lines crashing the net and getting hit with pucks and tipping pucks and causing chaos in front and just being kind of meat and potatoes, that seems like more of the reality than just one of the middle six coming out of nowhere like Morgan Geeky did last year and scoring 35 goals. I think it's more by committee, and the back end has to drive it.
So I do a lot of Twitter polls on various questions. Yesterday's was, are the Bruins a playoff team as they begin the season?
And that was fun.
76% said no. It was pretty resounding. Is that a negative view? Is that a realistic view? Do you think they are a playoff team?
Well, I think for the 76% that's realistic view, right? I think there's no one picking this team to win the division. I wouldn't pick this team to win the division because of what we've just talked about. But I think what we did see and what we have seen here in the last 3 weeks is there is a blueprint to scratch wins out this season. And it's really easy, from last season to how it was so bad at the end of the season to look at that and say, man, they're so far away. But the reality is that the Four Nations in February, when we went into Four Nations before Charlie McAvoy got hurt, they were in the playoffs. They were right there. And we talked about the chaos of the season and Montgomery getting fired and Swayman playing bad. And this team was still in the playoffs in February. Now, I'm not saying that that's automatic this year, but there's a possibility. There's a way to hang around the landscape in the wild card. There's a way to play and stay in games and get overtime points and stay in the mix. And I think that's what this team will do. If they make a move and the right moves at the right time at the deadline or before that and get maybe one more score, I think they can push themselves into a playoff spot.
Does Pasta have to have, so let's see, he had 3 points last night, three times 82. Is he going to have 250 points on the season for that to happen?
Well, if that's the case, then the 76% are completely right. It's crazy. He led the league last year in the percentage of points for his team at 47%. McDavid was 46, Draisaitl was 46. David was basically that basically tells you he's the MVP of the league MVP of his team.
Yeah, Dan Ball, our producer, was arguing, and I was like, I don't think you can be this bad and argue you're the MVP.
He legitimately could have been the last 2 years. He could have been with him getting 100 points and the next best guy getting 57 and 67 the last couple of seasons. It will look similar to that. He's going to get 100 points again. You see that if he's healthy, plays 80 games, he's going to get 100 points. He's just that good. So. But can they get into the playoffs? The question, can you get into the playoffs with just him getting 100 points and everyone else 45? It's really hard nowadays in the NHL. There's just too much scoring.
The style of play that the Bruins are going to be known for, it feels like they just want to be a gritty, tough team, right? And Cam, but Cam kind of alluded in the preseason, interview that he did, basically that, they're still looking for offensive firepower and that is something that they are going to be keeping their eye out for. Do you see them doing something mid-season to kind of bolster that part of the team up?
I do. I 100%. They're trying. They tried all summer. You're seeing it just the last couple of days. Jack Eichel signs, Connor McDavid signs, Kyle Connor signs in the NHL. These guys are all 40 goal scorers, 100 point players. They don't grow on trees and they don't fall off of trees when free agency comes. They get locked up. The Bruins wanted to get a bunch of guys that they signed with their teams last season. They couldn't go out and get anybody, or there weren't anybody available really this summer that would fit that goal scoring prowess. So there will be opportunities to make trades, and I'm sure Don Sweeney's calling for that. They're very aware that they would love to add one more piece to help David just a little bit and take some of the pressure off him scoring wise and help power play, etc. So I there's no question that if there's a deal to be made, they're going to make it. Absolutely. They want to be aggressive, and they know they can be aggressive with that.
So we talked about Swayman. Obviously, he's not going to play 82 games.
No.
I heard a comment from Marco Sturm, something about he's sort of a 2-1 guy, but he doesn't really map it out. Uh-huh. How do we expect that to play out so we don't read too much into it as we start to analyze the goaltending?
Yeah, so I don't read. Korpisalo is going to play tonight.
Okay.
They have 13 games before Halloween. 13 okay. games in 21 days to start the season, an 82-game season that stretches 7 months,
yep.
and you have 13 out of the gates. You're going to see a lot of Korpisalo. Okay. I would expect an 8-5 kind of split here in the first out of that first 13.
Not an easy schedule to start.
No.
I mean, because then in November, they two West Coast trips that are going to be long.
Correct. Everybody's schedule is brutal. Los Angeles Kings played Colorado, one of the best teams at home, played Vegas, the second best team last night, and then they go to Winnipeg and play the best team on Saturday. There's a ton of bad schedules, tough schedules because of the Olympics, because how condensed it is. So everybody's going to need their other goalie. I think the split is 50-32 at the end of this season. Mm-hmm. I think that and that's with both goalies playing well. I think that's kind of the sweet spot for this. And you're definitely not going to read too much into who's playing or where they're playing. There's definitely an opportunity that 8-5 goes the other way. If Korpisalo rattles off 6 in a row here to start the season, then you
will be reading into that.
Well, we will be reading into it, but it's just the way the season sets up that you can. In October, November, you can do it with and still have everybody on the same page and get everybody back by Christmas.
So you mentioned the Olympics coming off the Four Nations and the success of that.
Ugh.
Obviously,
not for Charlie McAvoy.
Not for the Bruins.
It was literally the worst thing
that could have happened for the Bruins.
It might have been the coolest hockey game I've ever seen in my life.
It was. Cool.
Okay, I wasn't around for like 1980 and all those things.
I was. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Well, you're old.
thank you. Yes.
But how do we expect that to play out? Some Bruins in the mix? Like, how does that all play out? And then we learned a lesson last year. If you're going to play physical hockey, you can get hurt and it can affect your Bruins season.
Yes, you certainly, the Bruins of all teams learned the lesson how much these mid-season tournaments. I guess the Olympics will have different referees, so there won't be three fights. We will not get so Four Nations had NHL referees. The Olympics will have double IHF referees, guys that Europe code ref in Europe that
know.
You
the,
will
the Chukup to Kachuk brothers will be playing in
no,
it.
No, so they're going to be grinding. Just it won't look the same. It won't have the same physicality, I suppose.
Okay.
But
is it the Olympic arena? Is this bigger space? Is
correct.
It,
yeah, have, so it'll be Olympic ice surface, so which is different. A little bit wider, a little bit more room, which will affect the physicality part of it. There's going to be a lot of hype for it, and that's about for our game, right? Yeah. You guys talk football all day. For hockey people, the Olympics, Winter Olympics especially, is a big deal because we end up on NBC for the next 6 months. You're going to see Charlie McAvoy's face plastered. The Kachucks, they'll be plastered across all of the social media
but
and everything.
You guys
else.
Get the importance of that, where I don't think the other sports do. You guys as players know the importance of that being, even though you're not getting paid for it, how important it is for your sport, right?
We do. Yes, we do. And guys, it's important to, like, our international hockey is important, especially in Canada and even here in the United States now, as you're seeing, it's starting to grow, but definitely in Sweden and in Czech Republic. That's kind of where your legacy really gets made. The Brad Marchands, Patrice Bergeron, Sidney Crosby's, they're known for winning gold medals in the Olympics in Canada, just as much as Stanley Cup. So, guys take it very seriously and are very, very honored to be able to get those opportunities. So the Bruins will have McAvoy, of course, he's there. Swayman will have competition to get on Team USA. He won world championship gold, but there's two or three or four other goalies fighting for that third spot. Of course, David Pastrnak, Elias Lindholm, Hampus Lindholm, they'll be on Sweden. So I would expect the Bruins to be down five or six guys. Zach will play as well. So, yeah, six or seven guys that'll be playing during the Olympics, which I might guess is about about average of all the NHL teams.
All right, before we let you go, you sort of brought it up, marketing and TV and NBC. Something I was sort of bitching about because I couldn't believe it was real. We're sitting here doing the show yesterday, and I'm watching the Florida Panthers, and I'm like, are they showing a recap? And then I'm like, wait, is this their opener? The Florida Panthers, the Stanley Cup champions, are opening up at home. So, like, it's that big night. Like, you know, in football, we're used to Thursday night, you get
big,
your own
late
night.
Afternoon is
and
what
it was. Yeah, it was like 5 o'clock. Like, how does that happen? What the hell was going on there?
Oh, and not to mention right in the middle of, like, Major League Baseball.
Yes. Yeah. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Well, I get the reality is this is the reality, and this is why, I mean, the Boston Bruins are on national TV this coming into this season, maybe making the playoffs, maybe not. The Bruins have the most national TV games. So we get Nesson got poached the most out of everybody in the league, and it comes down to people will watch Pittsburgh, New York much more than what they'll watch Chicago and Florida, even if it's a Stanley
even
Cup raising banner.
Yeah, wow.
So you put the Rangers on at 8 o'clock. If it wasn't the Rangers in Pittsburgh, it would have been Boston and Pittsburgh at 8 o'clock. Huh. So it really comes down to the draw, the ratings number and what teams. And the Bruins, Pittsburgh, Rangers, no matter what's going on, will draw more than anyone down here in the United States.
Interesting.
All right, yep. So 2-0 tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Of course. Nothing to see here. Move along.
Nothing to see. No, Chicago's much more of a rebuilding scenario than the Bruins. I think the way the Bruins have played thus far, and I'm including preseason, will negate what Chicago's good at, which is skill and speed. They should be able to slow them down. They should actually be able to score some goals. And yeah, I think they're going to continue the momentum off last night. I had this one a win all the way. So, yeah, 2-0. Why not?
I love it. Then there'll only be 80 left.
That's right. 2-82. 2-80 is pretty good still.
Yes.
Don't forget, Morning Brew.
Morning Brew.
Billy Jaffe, Andrew Raycroft.
As somebody who loves a play on words, it's one of the better podcast radio show type names out there. Morning Brew, love it. Andrew Razor Raycroft, good luck on TV.
Thank you.
Kept your clothes clean because you didn't have any barbecue.
No,
and we will we'll talk to you next Thursday, man.
Thanks, guys.
Andrew Razor Raycroft here on WEEI Afternoons. Up next, the Bruins are playing real hockey. The Celtics, well, they're playing some exhibition basketball. We'll break that down. Jaylen Brown, you see that? 21 points in the first half. You see that, Ted Johnson? 21 points. That's 42 in a full game. We'll talk about it next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Bet 365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Doroff will return it. Pastrnak, wrist shot, scores! Lots of traffic in front of Logan Thompson. Pastrnak got it to the net, and the Bruins have the lead. Here's Pastrnak with some space. McAvoy to the net. They find Lindholm, and he scores!
What a pass that is by Pastrnak. A goal and one assist in this game.
Stroll off the draw. Can't quite get it. Pastrnak springs Geeky with an open net and put it away. The Bruins win the critical faceoff. Geeky hits the empty net. And they are streaming towards the exits in D.C.
Put one on the board for the Bruins, Keith.
Woo! Two big points.
Pastrnak with a goal and a couple of assists.
Yes.
He dominated last night. Swayman was awesome.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't just getting saves against the Capitals. He was stopping pucks against his own team.
Yeah, listen.
Last night.
Whatever it takes.
Marco Sturm wins in his debut.
Yeah.
Break up the Bruins.
They look very good. This was the formula, though, wasn't it? It was David Pastrnak has to be the best player on the ice, which he is capable of being.
Keith, as the game was playing out, I thought of you yesterday
Thank you.
Saying
Thank you.
McAvoy's got to be strong on the back end.
Yep.
Swayman's got to be strong in net, and Pastrnak has to carry the goal scoring.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you can do that every night where one line scoring and you're only giving up one goal. I don't know if you can do that every night.
Tough.
But those three guys have to come up big for them to win games, and we're one game in. Last night they did.
And that's why, you know, Cam Neely even yesterday is talking about how they're going to add some offense. Like, he knows going in, like, they don't have any. Like, it's all on that first line. And there's been years when the Bruins have been pretty good, and they've still had, like, one scoring line. Remember, it was always like, do you break up these guys? Because you only have one line scoring and that kind of thing. But you saw Pastrnak. He's not going to have 240 points this season, but, like, he had a monster game. You know, good to see Geeky picking up where he left off, because that is another one of your goal scorers. And Swayman had 35 saves. So what a difference a year makes, because last year at this time, Jeremy Swayman had, like, just finally signed his contract. He wasn't involved in training camp. He wasn't ready to go in the season opener. And then he comes out and then just never really found the footing. And he was just had a bad, he had a bad year. And so completely different. He's available for the opener. He has 35 saves and is a big reason why you win the game.
Look, I've never wavered on Swayman. He's annoying.
Yeah.
And
he's a tough guy to listen to.
You know, last year was a disaster, like an absolute disaster, but it's because he wasn't ready to go. And some of that, I'm sorry, is on the Bruins.
Yep.
They gave him the contract. They caved. If they caved earlier, he would have had an offseason. He didn't. So some of it's on him. A lot of it, I think, is on the Bruins. They didn't want to pay him. They ultimately caved and did. They should have done it earlier. You should have given him that number earlier than you did to get him in there and have a proper offseason. So let's see.
Yeah.
If he follows up last year with another stink bomb, well, then maybe he can't play. Maybe he's not worth the contract. But while I'm not happy with Swayman a year ago, I get it. He wasn't engaged. The team wasn't engaged in him. The whole thing was a mess. Mm-hmm. From Monty to Marchand down to the goalie being AWOL most of the offseason. All of it was a lost year. It was a lost year.
Yeah, it was, unfortunately.
And, you know, one game in, long way to go. I think that opinion is looking pretty good, that last year was a lost year. Chalk it up. Swayman had a good preseason. Mm-hmm. He was awesome last night. He's even stopping the hamper trying to knock it into his own
goal. Yeah, yeah.
So what he finished with, 35 saves last night.
Yeah.
I didn't think the goal he gave up was bad, per se. It's not like he got roasted on that goal. And I think he was pretty good last night. So I feel pretty good about that. You can discuss 617-779-7937. We have Brad Foe in studio coming up less than a half hour from now. He joins us every Thursday in baseball season at 11:30. This will be the final appearance for Brad Foe weekly, but we'll have Brad Foe on continuously whenever there's Red Sox news, if there's Red Sox news. But I want to get his thoughts going into the offseason. Coming up at 11:30, we go on the clock at high noon. How has Bill Belichick destroyed his legacy? 60 seconds each from myself and Keefe, and the Kiefer Madness at 12:45.
Yes.
So a lot in store. Real quick before we get to the Bruins. We have been given some information.
We have an update.
I don't know if it's breaking news worthy.
Close.
But we have been given some information on Cam Schlittler and the story that he told ESPN while he took on Braintree High.
Right.
They were chirping about his girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, hey.
Got mad.
Hey, Braintree coach, you better tell those guys to shut up.
Or I'll hit
them. I'm going to hit them all.
I'm going to buzz the tower.
And the coach was like, hey, guys.
Guys, we better sell down. We don't want
to. Cool your jets.
You poke
don't
the bear.
You don't want Schlittler mad at you. Yeah. And so we've been given some information from what we would consider a good inside Braintree source.
A very reliable source.
Yes.
That didn't happen.
You're a liar.
That didn't happen.
That never happened?
It's untrue. We know somebody who, let's just call him Justin Turpin, who went to high school with all
Tustin
those guys.
Turpin. Yeah.
Who knows all the guys on the Braintree baseball team that played against Walpole's own Cam Schlittler, and that never happened.
Wow.
So a guy who lied to everybody's face about being from Boston, we're like, all right, you lied about that, but whatever. This is another one. So there's a whole story written about how he was so mad and he pitched mad. The first time he pitched mad was against Braintree. Braintree players are like, no.
Nope.
Didn't happen.
Didn't happen. You're telling me
he's just a liar. He and Hunter Dobbins' dad are the same guy.
You're telling me the guy who said his whole family turned their backs on the Red Sox.
They all did. They hate the Red Sox.
He's a Yankee.
Yep.
And the guy who claims he's from downtown Boston, even though he grew up basically a Patriot place
in Walpole. He could have lived in New Hampshire.
He grew up by the Bass Pro Shop, for God's sakes. And he's claiming he's from downtown Boston. You're telling me that guy made up a story about his high school baseball
career?
He's
a chronic liar. He can't help himself now. And that's what happens, unfortunately.
Well,
once you get away with one lie.
Up your lies.
Yes.
Plus, there's the rush of getting away with your lies.
Slippery slope.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in this day and age, it is so easy to check somebody on their lie and to fact check it and immediately disprove it. And so he is, I don't know. I don't know what his next lie is going
to
be.
Should I reach out to some Northeastern sources and see what else he's lying about?
Lying about it. Did he go to Northeastern? Who even know that to be true?
Greg, I didn't know about it until like a week ago, so maybe he didn't.
Maybe he didn't.
Yeah, let's
and then he's like, oh, I went there for 3 years. Did you go there for five? Isn't that the whole thing about Northeastern? You're supposed to go for five.
I definitely went for
five.
He
didn't get that right.
I almost went for six. Right. But no, so this is an especially pathetic lie, because what are you actually lying about?
Hey, guys, I had a girlfriend in high school.
That might be it.
She was hot, too.
Oh, you should have seen her.
She went to a different school, though.
Yeah. There's no pictures of her, but, you should have seen her.
Yeah, you should have seen her.
Oh, man, she hot.
We did lots of sex.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Bag of sand.
What did the Braintree player say about her?
She was down with sex all the time.
Yeah. Oh, man. What did the player say about her? Just mean stuff.
Yeah, they were mean about her.
I had a defender. But, what did they say? Jazz, you don't want to hear it. No, I do.
I want to hear it.
No.
I respect women too much. I'm not going to say it.
These guys were crazy. You're like, did this really happen, Cam? Or are you making this up?
Breaking news. Please credit the Jones and Keefe show.
Yeah, we're on it.
That bullcrap that ESPN wrote about.
Yeah, who wrote that? We should
Jorge Castillo.
All right, somebody get Jorge on the line and be like, listen, you just got fed a bill of goods.
Yeah.
You might want to correct it.
You believe.
Can you write another article?
You believe the lying liar. We want a retraction.
Immediately.
Immediately. Yeah, please credit at Jones and Keefe. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God. What's next? What's the next thing he's going to say?
I don't know.
Although he'll be out of sight, out of mind for a little while.
Yeah.
That's good.
I do half respect him for changing his avatar on Twitter to a Bruins logo. I'll give him that.
Yeah, he's a Bruins fan.
I don't want to give him that, but I'll give him that.
He's from Boston.
Speaking of the Bruins, I agree with you, Keith. Last night is the recipe for how they win
games. That's it.
I don't know that you can win a bunch with one line going. You know,
we're going to find out.
With four shots through 1.5 periods.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was.
Oh, they eased into the game.
They had a million penalties last night, right? Pastrnak took one right away. They killed off a 5-on-3, which credit to them for doing it.
Yeah.
But I don't know that you're going to kill off a bunch of 5-on-3s where you're out there for a minute. Never mind five penalties. So I don't know how sustainable any of that is. But the idea that Pastrnak, Swayman, and McAvoy are all going to have, well, in the case of Swayman and McAvoy, bounce back years. In the case of Pastrnak, continue doing what he's doing. I mean, that's how you're going to win games, relying on those three, because
Definitely. They
all are, you know, if not elite players, they're all certainly top 10 and maybe top 5 at their position if they're locked in.
They are. And it's just, you know, how much of a cliff do they fall off of, like, the next wave? Like, the second best forward, the second best defenseman. You know, one thing that I don't think is going to be super reliable is Zadorov, who played well last night.
He did.
He was good. He had a bunch of ice time. He even had an assist in there. He was a +2. Like, he was good. He was bad last year. He was like, I think Lindholm almost kind of, Elias Lindholm kind of got, like, we almost ignored him because Zadorov was like so bad. And you're like, oh, these, and then you're looking at Sweeney, like, these are the guys you brought in, and he was so bad. But he played pretty well, so let's see how that goes.
Elias.
Zadorov actually played pretty well.
Both did.
But I mean, Zadorov in particular.
I'm skeptical of Elias Lindholm, not just because of the year that he had, but remember, we came in after the first couple of games last year, and we're like, oh, look at this. He's already producing.
Yeah.
So, like,
I like that signing.
His first couple of games, he actually played, he had an assist in the opener, he had a goal and two assists in the second game, he had a goal in the third game, and then he did nothing for, like, the rest of the year. But Lindholm started hot last year, and I remember that. And I'm a little skeptical of him, but that line should be productive.
Yeah.
I mean, Geeky and Pastrnak. Geeky had another opportunity to score last night. They have great chemistry.
Oh, yeah.
The feed that Pastrnak...
He had an assist earlier, then he obviously had the empty netter. But...
Well, the feed that Pastrnak had to Geeky was on the empty netter. Mm-hmm. The feed he had to Lindholm was gorgeous on the power play goal. But, yeah, I'd expect that line to go. You need more depth scoring. A buddy of mine, a former Bruins season ticket holder, that was lamenting giving up those season tickets based on how they looked last night.
Well, I mean, he'll be fine.
But he said if ultimately you ran into the trouble with Marchand, Pastrnak, and Bergeron as your one line going, you're going to need more depth scoring.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have it. Cam Neely doesn't think they have it.
He does not.
But being able to rely on those three players, again, Pastrnak, McAvoy, Swayman, and then hopefully the guys you paid some money to last year, Zadorov, Elias Lindholm, maybe you get more out of the hamper now that he's back. The guys you're paying money to, you need him to come through. And for the most part, last night they did.
But it feels like it's going to be another year where we're screaming about adding a second line forward to score at the deadline. Even, like, you know, the team's been decent and we've been screaming about that.
Yep.
Some years they try it, some years they don't, whatever else. But yeah, no, Morgan Geeky, going back to him for a minute, like he's going to have to be an incredibly important player. He had 33 goals last year, and you don't know how much of that is like, ah, well, somebody has to score. It's a bad team, you know, and some of that was coming in the second half where they really just kind of bottomed out. But that can be a really useful player, right, where you don't just have, you know, if Pasternak's going for like another 50-goal season, and then you're looking around, you're like, well, nobody else is even cracking 20. Like, I don't think that'll be the case. Like, I think Geeky should be right up there with him and should be the clear-cut, you know, second-leading goal scorer on the team.
Marco Sturm wins in his debut. I think you saw they're going to try to pack it in. I don't know that the recipe is to get wildly outshot and have a million penalties, but he's going to try to tighten things up defensively, and to their credit, only one goal allowed last night. Here's Sturm after winning his debut.
How's it feeling when number one is?
Yeah, hell, it feels great. I'm exhausted, though. But
that was the exact reaction I had when the Yankees lost last night. Like, that is exactly, I was like, yeah.
Can't just breathe into this microphone. Is that what you want?
All right.
Not really.
One more time.
Yeah. Hell, it feels great. I'm exhausted, though, but...
Still me.
No, it's just... I said it before. It's just...
Yeah, nap.
It's the moment I was waiting for, and to grab a win on the road at a tough place like here, it's even better. And on top of it, you know, for the most part, they played exactly what we worked on. They played exactly how I wanted them to play. And that makes me happy.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Honestly, all of that.
That whole thing. Was he shirtless with a cigarette when he was doing this post-game thing? Holy mackerel.
So
this is what it's going to be like, what a ride we're in store for.
The guy is just electric.
Wow.
So I have one takeaway on Sturm last night. I don't know if you noticed it.
Sturminator?
There was a late timeout in the game. And he is just out to lunch during this timeout. Like, I mean, he is just, like, not even anywhere near the players. And I get it. The assistant coaches,
right, they're in there.
They're scheming things up. Power plays, penalty kills, et cetera.
Yeah. He's just having a little break.
He is just out to lunch in the corner of the bench. And he's just standing there with his mouth open.
Well, sometimes less is more. He's just catching flies.
I'm like, somebody go push his chin up for him because he's just standing there.
Check the pulse on Sturm. Go ahead and check the pulse on Sturm. He's not talking.
So, this is the man's debut.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Hell, it feels great. It's the moment I was waiting for. And on top of it, that makes me happy.
On top of it.
He's just standing there. So just let's monitor that going forward.
Okay, like, we'll keep an eye on him.
Am I overreacting to that, or is this going to be a thing where he's just standing there slack-jawed
just like
in the corner while everybody else is doing something, and he's just kind of, his tie's all askew.
Daydreaming.
He looked like he was kind of out to lunch last night, so I want to watch. I wasn't locked in, Keith,
well,
on the Bruins in the preseason.
I got it.
I didn't keep a lot of tabs on like the Ontario rain and everything else, so I'm not familiar with his work. But last night, it wasn't as jarring as Mazzulla and his gum chewing.
What is his coaching style?
But I had trouble getting past the open mouth, standing in the corner, kind of doing nothing.
Well, some people do subscribe to the less is more theory.
Sure.
And maybe for him, he's like, I'm not going to say a whole lot. I'm just going to be here. I'm just going to be on the bench so they know that I'm here for them.
Yeah.
But when it comes to any kind of, you know, coaching, I'm not going to do that. I'll let the assistant.
I'm going to leave that up to the assistant.
So I will now keep an eye on that.
That'll
be tonight when they're playing the Blackhawks. I will keep a close eye. Because we did the, remember Gerard Mayo?
Mm-hmm.
Classically, they would show him for weeks on weeks on weeks, talking to no one.
Yeah.
No, other coaches, no.
Just kind of listening along on
players,
the headset.
Players, no.
Yeah.
To the point where someone asked him about it.
Yeah.
Remember in post game, they're like, hey, are you talking to anybody? He's like, yeah, of course I am.
Yeah, that was great. Well, who was that? They were like, hey, do you guys.
Was it Taylor Kyles?
You do anything in game? It might have been.
It might have been Taylor
Whoever
Kyles.
Whoever it was.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I talk on the headset.
I'm on the headset.
Like, guys, I do. I talk on the headset.
There's like 53 players and a bunch of other coaches on the sideline. You don't talk to them ever.
No, we've not seen it. I don't say you've never done it, but they definitely don't show it.
They don't show it. Every time they show him, he's just standing there like stare, like befuddled by what's going on in front of him.
So
I don't know. If Marco's the same guy, we shall see.
Yeah,
but
look,
a winner's Mayo also won his first game.
I was just about to say. Now look, if they keep winning, Mayo did not. I don't care if he stands there with his mouth wide open, kind of doing nothing with his tie askew and looking generally confused.
Yeah,
but if they don't keep winning, just monitor that.
I got it. I'll file that away.
You want to take a Cam Schlittler call?
Yeah, obviously. Is it Cam Schlittler himself?
I don't know.
Okay,
it could be. They're calling themselves Richard and Salisbury.
Hello, Cam's a liar, though.
Hello, Richard.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Pretty great.
Great.
Hey, I just want to let you know, Schlitzer doesn't want to admit he's from Walpole because he lives right next door to the state prison, you know?
Ah, so is that,
why would he be ashamed of that?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like people from Lynn don't want to admit they're from Lynn. So, you know, some towns you don't want to say you're from. And I think his girlfriend's father did some time there.
Oh. Well, I don't know. I mean, everything's in bounds with Cam Schlittler.
You know, the state,
I don't know what to believe and what not to believe, so let's lump in Richard and Salisbury.
You know, the New Hampshire state women's prison for many years was in Goffstown, and people weren't ashamed to say they were from Goffstown.
Nice.
Is that how
it was nice.
Cam and his girlfriend...
You know who stayed there for a little bit?
It's like an Orange is the New Black thing going
Pam
on
Pam Smart.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, notorious. There's like several movies made about Pamela Smart.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
That was a bad scene.
What were you saying?
Do you
Nick?
Think that's how Cam Schlittler and his girlfriend met? Because, but didn't he say his dad was like a sheriff or something?
His dad is Needham police chief.
Yeah.
Oh, so maybe
allegedly.
He's the one that put
allegedly.
Maybe,
allegedly. Allegedly. Yeah, allegedly. I don't believe that.
Allegedly,
I'm not
maybe
fact
he's the one that.
That
put his girlfriend's dad away.
Could have been. Could have been.
It's like
that'd be like a nice little mini series.
It's like a Montague and a Capulet situation.
Yes.
Yeah. You locked up my dad.
Now,
but you look nice.
I slept with your daughter.
Like Romeo and Juliet.
The ultimate revenge.
Exactly. 617-779-7937. You can weigh in on the Bruins, Yankees elimination party. More on that coming up with Rob Bradford. Baseball isn't boring. And WEEI.com. You can check out his work there. We'll get to Bradfo right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.